If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 293. It's Monday, June 28th, 2021. Welcome back to The Boop Show, or to here for the very first time. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Dunaway. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott. How are you today?
Well, you know, just trying to get her done, man. Like the old...
Get her done.
The old fake comedian used to say, get her done.
Now, he wasn't a fake comedian. He was just a fake accented.
I didn't mind him doing that. I didn't mind that, except he just didn't tell anybody until it came out later and someone found an old tape. And then I was annoyed because I'm like, well, just own it then. Just be that guy, right? And say, or be not that guy and just say, yeah, I was pretending to be a guy, and own it. Just own it. That's all I want. People to own their shit.
I don't know. I have mixed emotions about it. Mm. I have mixed emotions about it. I mean, because I know other comedians.
Yeah.
I mean, Jim Varney, obviously not earnest every day of the week.
No, but he never claimed to be, right? He did all sorts of other stuff and other voices and other acting.
But things. But I mean, did he really? Did I ever see Ernest do anything until like much later?
I mean... Okay, well, sure. He was famous for being Ernest P. Worrell, but he also had a show that was outside of the movies. It was this weird TV show. I remember this. It was like a single episode thing. Not the commercials, not the Ernest thing, but like a weird one man played all the different parts kind of weird ass thing that was on TV.
Yeah, that Ernest show. Yeah.
What was that
absolutely
called? Was that called it wasn't called the Ernest show.
No, it wasn't called the Ernest show, but it was something like it was Ernest TV or something, you know, something crazy like that. But yeah, he played the old lady who had the neck brace on.
Yeah,
did all that stuff. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Well, he's also known for his voices in Toy Story. He was a voice in Atlantis the Lost Empire, played Cookie. He was fantastic in that. He was also in, Hercules, the TV series, Three Ninjas, High School at Mega Mountain, The Simpsons. He played Cooter on there. His name was Cooter. Roseanne, he played Prince Carlos on Roseanne. Very different role.
But did he do it? Has he done any video game voice work?
Well, I don't know, but the point is, it doesn't matter. What I'm getting at here is that, what's his name? Larry the Cable Guy.
Right. Larry the Faker guy.
The Faker
more
guy.
More like it.
Does Larry the Cable Guy to everything he ever did. Every interview, every stand-up, every tour, every everything, including his voice work in movies or his acting in movies, was all as Larry the Cable Guy until somebody unearthed this video footage of him being dude with a mullet in the 80s, hanging out on a microphone, not sounding anything like Larry the Cable Guy. And we're all like, oh, it's not really his thing. I'm just saying, be who you are.
I can't decide because I only ever interface with Larry the Cable Guy in an entertainment way. Now, if I was like, if I had found out, you know, I went to dinner with Larry the Cable Guy and got home and I found out that, I'd be pissed. Like that guy.
Okay. What if Jeff Goldblum and everything he ever did, movies, interviews, and everything, he talks like this?
Right.
Brian. Right? He does what he does. But then you find footage later where, and when he goes home, he's like, hey, everybody, I'm Jeff Goldblum. Where's dinner? Like, he just turns into a totally different guy at home. You'd be annoyed.
I'd be annoyed. I'd actually be entertained. I'd be like, oh my God, he fooled me for so many years. Good job, Jeff Goldblum.
I don't like being fooled.
You don't like being duped. You don't like magic, do you? You're like, oh.
No, I don't.
You've tried to fool me. I'm not buying it.
I actually kind of don't like magic for those reasons.
You don't like magic? Oh, that's interesting.
Because I know it's all horseshit, and I can't. It's hard for me to be entertained by horse shit.
Horse shittery.
Look, I've got friends that are way into magic. It's great. Go for it. Everyone do magic. It's not a problem. It's just a thing with me.
Right. But that's okay. Some people are like that. Some people don't like magic. I don't like horses. I mean,
Horses aren't lying to you. Horses are just horses.
Are you kidding me? Of course they are. They're like standing there looking like, hey, it's cool. It's cool. The next thing you know, you know, kick to the ribs.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But anything where the business is surrounding a fooling people into something, I hate that. Freaking hate it.
So not a fan of lip syncing. All right.
Lip syncing. Don't like, right. Even for technical reasons. It's like, well, we're at the Super Bowl. There's no good sound here, blah, 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 whatever. Yeah, I know, right. But it still sucks. You have to fake it. Fake it till you make it, they say. I say never fake it, just make it. How about that? All right. Hey,
you know
Brian,
what's real? What? Video games are real. Video they games never are real. Fake it.
I know they're real. I've seen them. I've seen them before. We are going to do some video game news in the area of indies, because that's what this show's about. We talk about indie games, okay? That's our whole focus here. You know, there's this whole, like, sister show, Core, where we focus on, like, big, you know, industry-wide hoo-ha, Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo, all the big things, right? But... Right. Here we like to just drop the camera down a little bit, scooch it over, focus in on the small stuff that, like, little teams of one dude or four guys or a lady and a monkey or whatever are all doing.
A lady and a monkey?
Yeah.
You'd be really pissed if that lady and the monkey had found out the monkey's doing all the video game programming later on. You'd be very pissed.
Well, and so you could make the argument, by the way, that video games are just tricking me anyway. Like,
yeah,
Diablo,
yeah,
if you strip all the pretty from Diablo, it's just numbers going up, right?
Yeah, that's true.
That's it. So
it's just numbers.
Yeah.
It's
so numbers, our brains are freaking weird, and I guess we like to be fooled. I don't know. We're a bunch of weirdos.
I like being scared, but in a safe space.
Yeah, you want to be scared in your safe space. That's what they call it. The kids call it. Hey, look at this here. We got Castlevania-like Ender Lilies. Is that right? Ender Lilies?
It is. Ender Lilies, correct.
Summons with a full launch and new bosses. This is happening right now. If you like your Metroidvanias, boy howdy. A small game called Ender Lilies, Quietus of the Nights has defeated early access and has now emerged as a fully launched game. This is one to sort of keep your eyes on. Long ago, here's a description. I should have some music for this. Hold on. Well, you know we can use this that I was using earlier. Okay. Hold on. Let me skip ahead here.
Oh, all right, here you go. Interesting.
This isn't from the game, but I'll just read it. Okay. I lost it. Here it is. Long ago, in the distant reaches of Land's End, an unforeseen rainfall transformed all living things into frenzied undead monstrosities known as the Blighted.
Oh, the Blighted.
Faced with a calamity far beyond their understanding, the kingdom fell into ruin and no end to the accursed rain in sight. Oh, that's a storm you don't want to be involved with, man.
No.
Seems neat, though. If you like that sort of game, it seems pretty cool. I like the graphics on this thing.
I love Metroidvanias, and this is set in a dark fantasy kind of world. So I'm down with that. Similar games that I've played before on Steam, according to them, is Blasphemous and Darksiders. And I'm like, that's some of my favorite stuff I've played over this past year. So I'm like, I am down with it. But it's finally out of early access, $25 on Steam right now, getting very positive reviews.
Yeah.
I can't argue with that.
It's got an animated lady, or anime lady, I should say.
It does have an anime lady.
Yeah. She's your main lady. She's the one you control and do stuff with. So if you're into anime ladies, boy howdy, this game seems to. Oh, look at this! Very nice. Look at this. This is very nice. This video. Look at this.
Yeah. Look at that. Looks floaty, but I like it because she's supposed to be ghosty, so that's cool. And she's got like a little sprite following her on the screen. That's nice.
Is that like a Zelda? What was the thing that followed Link around?
That was what was that thing? It was a little glowy fiery thing.
Yeah, what the hell is that called, chat?
Why am I blanking on it?
It would always go or whatever, and you'd have to like see what it was pointing at. Sprite, was that the name of the thing?
It was probably a sprite. I don't remember. Did I call it sprite? And I'm just confused it because I don't know. It's just what it's called.
Sprite
probably.
Is donkey water. I don't like Sprite. Anyway.
You don't like Sprite? It's not donkey. Navi. Is that it? Jason Calhoun? That sounds right.
Navi. Talent. Yeah, Navi. Navy, Navi. Navi. Yeah. Navi? For like navigation. See. I think that's what they were trying to
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Ooh, this is a pretty game. Wow.
It is a very pretty game. I've been watching this one for a little while, early access earlier this year, and now it is full access, $25. It is on my list, and maybe the game I play next week, and we're going to find out. I'm
not playing that either. It looks all right.
Except for this guy, this one person, this one individual who says this about the game amongst many positive reviews. This has to be the most annoying game I've ever played.
Wow.
The mechanics for the character are slow. The hitbox of your character is 3 times the size of the character model, and enemy attacks reach far beyond their actual visual models. I'm not sure, really sure why I put 20 hours of my time in this game. Maybe I'm just a
lame.
Machinist.
Maybe he's lame. So hold on a second. The chat room has clarified a little bit. It's Navi the Fairy, and it's right. The one that character says, "Hey, listen." It doesn't. It's Link who goes,
That's right. I remembered it wrong, but it sounded right when you said it.
He's always just freaking out. Like that. It's pretty good, right? Anyway, that looks like something to keep your eyes on right there. Ender Lilies, you can find it on Steam.
Out now.
Maybe other stuff soon. Watch for that. Also, big news for those who really liked the game I talked about some time ago on this show called Teardown. Put a bunch of difficulty options in there so you can unlock everything at once if you want to. Now, it's a little bit, that headline's a little misleading. So I got in there and tested the update today, had a real good time doing it. I put up a Twitter video today of me destroying a concert venue. It was pretty fun. Anyway, for those who don't know, this game is like, I don't know how to describe it. It's voxel-based, but it's not Minecraft-y. It's smaller cubes, I guess, which makes it seem... less voxel based, but right. It's all about destruction.
Oh, that's right. You told me. Yeah, we looked at this.
Yeah, I played this game.
Smaller cubes.
Yeah, little tiny cubes, and there's lots of mayhem in here. Like this guy just
mini voxels.
Guy just took his tractor into the drink like a dummy. lots of tools you can use. There's a blowtorch, a hammer, a thing to put out fires with, thing to start fires with. What else? These little pipe bombs, which was what I used on the concert venue, which was really fun. Anyway, it's made by one dude. And
you sound like a terrorist.
No, well, there's no one there. It's like me and that's it. It's just an empty place. The game itself. Okay. We've been through all this, but just briefly, game gives you jobs. You accept the job. You go do it. You sneak into a place at night and disable something or break something or. Break That's in and right. move a car out or whatever.
Yeah, so totally what you were hired for and totally not a terrorist.
Well, here's what I'm saying. Like, when you... The reason I did the thing with the concert venue, there's nobody there. It's just an empty
right,
venue.
Right, sounds up on the up and up.
Yeah,
I don't
really
think
on
you
the
have to actually kill people to terrorize them, though.
Well, it's not in the campaign. So, and this is the part where the article matters, because what the game added were 4 options for changing difficulty in the game, and one of them is... not really a difficulty thing, but just unlock me everything in sandbox mode. Normally, you have to unlock those individually before sandbox mode to use them. But there's this option now where you can just go, yeah, I just want to go do sandbox and have everything. I want the rocket launcher. I want the pipe bombs. I want everything. And then you go in there and just blow the shit out of everything for fun, just for shits and giggles. The campaign remains kind of what it is. But now there's an option to skip levels if you want. If you're having a hard time with one, you can extend timers if you want. You can make your weapons have more ammo if you want, or less ammo.
Oh, so God mode.
Yeah, you can make it harder or easier. It's kind of, they just gave you some sliders, even though they're not sliders, but it's kind of what they gave you. I think it's awesome, and it's another reason to go check that game out. It was already great. Another
what was it called again?
Teardown.
Teardown.
Yeah, spelled TEARDODOWN.
Now I'm less sure how to spell it after you spelled it.
I was way into this game when I first reviewed it here, and I still think it's amazing. It's still in early access, but coming along real nice, and
$20,
hell of a thing. Yeah, it's a really cool game. I like it a lot.
What if I want to play this other game that came out before this called Disassembly 3D? What
you
if
could
I
do that, but I've never heard of it, and it sounds like it might be poo. Yeah. But you can try.
Ooh, voxel suite. Ooh, what is that?
Ooh, voxel suite. Ooh, ooh, sexy. Oh. Whatever you're talking about sounds real sexy.
$20, overwhelmingly positive. Teardowns doing early access came out at the end of October last year in early access. So great.
Yeah, he's a good follow on Twitter too. That guy, he's pretty great. So go check him out.
Love it.
Also, in the bit of news we're covering this morning, Alex Kidd in Miracle World DX is officially out. This matters to us because Alex Kidd goes way back. We try to get a little retro sometimes on the show. It's not all
he's
Indiana's.
One of them 80s kids. Yep. And one of the most popular questions about Alex Kidd when you Google him is Alex Kidd a monkey? Alex Kidd appears as a short boy with large ears and slightly monkey-like features.
Oh,
a red and yellow jumpsuit and oversized hands. So, yeah.
I didn't know this monkey thing was part of his... they really say he has monkey features? Like he's a...
The character Alex Kidd was inspired by chiefly by Bruce Lee and Sung Wukong, the Monkey King.
Oh, here he is. Now I see him. Now, wasn't this like a... This was like a NEC... what was the name of their console?
Right.
Shit, what was that called? TurboGrafx. Wasn't that where this kid was? Or was this a
originally
Sega thing?
Released on trying to remember. It was actually a cartoon first. No, it was a video game character. That's
might
right.
Have been okay. A Genesis or a Master
it
System
was
game?
Probably I would say it was I thought it came out on the like, ooh, it's a Sega game.
Okay, Master System then. It's gotta be.
Probably.
It's gotta be.
Yeah, Master System. Originally released on the Master System in parallel. Released in the arcade.
Ooh, Alex Kidd in the arcade,
Yeah, and I think I played it on my Retrocade, my RetroPie. I played the arcade version.
Oh, very
cool. It was stupid, so I'm looking forward to this one.
It's a little stupid, yeah. Everybody was trying to be the next Mario. That was what was going on back then. Alex Kidd has a lot of fans. If you want DX, out now on Xbox X, Series X and S, and PC. So
yeah, and is it part of the Game Pass? I'm trying to remember, but anyway, it is on, like you said, Xbox. Also, it's on Steam if you want to do that. At $17.99, 10% off right now. There's also a demo, but whatever.
Those
you
demos,
know, $18. Just you know,
yeah, just throw money around like it's nothing. Just do that.
Yeah, just you've got the money. Yeah, you got all that vacation money you didn't spend on during the pandemic. So just
Do
this
that.
Is your little vacation,
or
you can play as Monkey Boy,
Monkey Boy Junior, right? Or go get an Atari VCS console because it actually came out.
That's a terrible idea.
You knew it was coming, but you didn't know it happened because apparently it sucks. Apparently it's garbage.
Probably part of the reason why I didn't know is because the pre-orders had been sold out for a while, right? And so they were just fulfilling those and they weren't really wanting to sell anymore. Isn't that...
I'm not sure. I mean, they claimed a lot of stuff when it was being delayed and other things. I don't think it was selling out. I think they were lucky to get whatever they got.
Is this a PC? I mean, it looks like an Atari. I mean, that's the whole gimmick, right?
Sort of. I don't know if I'd call it much of a PC, but it exists. And you want to spend $399, go for it. Everybody everywhere, at like IGN, for example, Seth Macy reviewed it and said it is... Really
lackluster.
Bad. Really? No, not just lackluster. You're being too kind with your words over there. Here's what he said. All right. $300 for that price. Oh, I said $399.
Right.
$299. For that price, it doesn't even come with a controller. The bundle that includes both the classic and modern controller is $400. This is literally the price of a Nintendo Switch, Xbox Series S, or digital only PS5. That's incredible. Then he says the actual point of the unit is either to play a variety of 80s classic Atari/arcade games or just use the thing as a quasi-functional mini PC. The VCS requires a full system restart to change resolution, which can technically go up to 4K, but it looks and performs terribly there. The PC mode requires you to use a thumb drive with an operating system on it, and it's buggy and hard to get to work. And once you do, it's not clear what the point of using the VCS the thing that way actually is, as there are way, way easier and more functional ways to get a PC connected to your TV screen. Let's see.
I love school. We're watching the video and they're showing the little controller. Can you buy the controller separately?
Yes, you can get them separately, I guess. I don't know how long they're going to last, but you may want to try to get one before this goes out of business completely. But they're not. Nobody's talking about this in a good way. It seems like it might be poop. Could be poop.
Yeah, we see this happen lots of times. There's a product that comes to market that no one was asking for, right? So I mean, that's what we're getting here.
If it was good, I'd be like, all right, Atari coming back, baby, with the idea that's cool. And but they're not even owned by the same people anymore.
Exactly.
This is some weird holding group.
I think as consumers, we've gotten, especially the market they're going for, these consumers that they're marketing towards already know the BS of names being resold. We've been tricked so many times. We're already on to this trick. We know that this is not the original, you know, Atari company that we loved when we were growing up. Yeah. We know this is just a money grab.
This is part of the problem, is that they are treating us like dummies. And I don't like it, sir. No, I don't.
I look forward to picking mine up on eBay for about $250.
I'll bet you get it for $125.
For $125, okay.
Yeah, better deal. We'll just get you
without the
deal,
controller. Bro. I think those controllers are actually going to sell pretty good. I think people are going to find places.
I wouldn't mind a controller just to have it and say I got it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, look, he's showing the back, an HDMI port, a couple of USBs, a network connector. It looks like a thing that'll plug into the wall.
One it looks like a thing that'll plug into the wall.
It looks pretty ugly.
It looks good.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It looks like crap. It looks like crap. It doesn't look good.
I don't think so. I think it looks good.
If they put wood paneling on it, and I thought they were gonna. I guess I missed the memo. Maybe they made two models. That would have been cool.
Yeah, on the I think they do on some models. I think the very face of it has like the wood panel, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe you can get a skin or something.
Yeah, made two models, yeah. Well, I can't find a good review. If anyone out there can find a good review,
you're not going to find a good review. You know why? Because it's at the higher end of what this thing is worth.
Well, that's part of it. But pricing. I mean, you can find all sorts of retro console stuff that reviewed quite well. PS1 retro console was garbage. No one liked it. SNES one was awesome and everyone loved it. So that reviewed well. The Genesis one reviewed well. Like, you can do this. This isn't meant to be just a retro device. It's meant to be all these other things. And it sounds like it's not great at being any of it. So, also that packaging, dude, 1994 called and said, hey, can we get our Office 95 packaging back? We'd really like to get that back at CompUSA this afternoon. Like, my gosh. I'm not trying to be too hard on it, but I'm glad I didn't spend
I know that you do some work on packaging stuff, and I take your opinion very highly.
Well, thank you very much. There's other issues with it. I won't get into all of them, but apparently,
it took too long to come out. Yeah, they moved way too slow.
Yeah,
and you know, if it had came out a lot quicker, a lot sooner, people might not have complained as much. But I think at this point, I mean, we've been on the hype train for how many years? 3-4 years?
Long time
on this thing.
Yeah,
you're not gonna satisfy anybody with that.
Has it been really 4 years? Wow, I think you're right.
Yeah, so like it's 3 or 4 years. It was announced a long time ago.
Yeah, but there's a lot of unboxing videos on Twitter, YouTube. So if you want to see those and kind of get a better closer look at it, you can. But
yeah, well, I'm the kind of gamer who's also the collector, and even crappy stuff has a place on my shelf.
Yeah, you have a little place for some crap, I'm sure.
Yeah,
some crap on there. That's what I always say.
It's like, look at this piece of crap that felt so bad. Look at it.
Well, now let's talk about games you can buy today and enjoy and not be sad about. This week's games start with this one that I played. Here's my review of Isolated Games and their game, Traveler's Rest.
Oh.
Travelers. I don't know why I'm making that sound. Traveler's Rest is really cool. I'm very excited about this. So, these guys made a game, a space game, whose name is escaping me right now, and I wish I could remember the name of this game, but it was nothing like this. They're completely in different worlds. The last game was like an Unreal Engine thing, and it was all 3D space stuff, and it was cool. I liked it, but it's nothing like this. This is like like Stardew Valley had a baby with a Diner Dash with a little bit of, I don't know, Animal Crossing thrown in there.
Right. The interface is reminding me of Terraria. Rah, rah, rah,
oh, yeah, big time. Terraria. And maybe Terraria a little bit, but not really, because you don't really build stuff out like Terraria. But basically what you're trying to do is run a successful tavern. You know, that's why it's called Traveler's Rest, a place for this medieval sort of magical hero types to stop on their way to whatever and get a bowl of mead. Or no, a flask of mead and a bowl of gruel. Of you get gruel. You get what else? I can't remember the other.
You can't have any mead till you've eaten your pudding.
It's all very like medieval food, and you can make different kinds. You brew different beers. You have this back room where you actually do the brewing process, and it takes all the stuff you do, like hops and freaking, you know, weird ingredients. And those ingredients, sometimes you have to buy overnight through a service that delivers them to you. So you're like, oh, people want this weird beer with like bitter hops and some other thing. I don't know much about beer, so I'm bad at this, but you buy all this shit and then it comes in and then you put it in these machines and they ferment and then you put them together and then you got your beer and then whatever. Also, once a day, you go out into your yard and pick up all the logs and trees that have fallen over or twigs and stuff, because you're going to want to use those later to build stuff.
Burning the fire so you can brew the beer.
Yeah, so there's a fire in there. You got to keep temperatures comfortable for your patrons. Right now, at this stage of the game, there's a door in that backyard that's blocking your way, but eventually you'll unlock the backyard, which will have full capability of a garden, so you can grow all your own ingredients or a bunch of them and sell bigger and better food and get different clientele and improve your place and whatever. It's mostly like if I had to compare this to anything, I'd say it's like the similarities to Stardew Valley are really just visual, because they've gone for this, you know, kind of 2D 16-bit look, you know, kind of thing. That's really where that ends, because this isn't about relationships with individual people. This isn't about going into a town and like checking everybody out and talking to them and stuff. It's none of that. It's just running this tavern and getting the stuff you need to make that happen. So crafting stuff, building stuff, cooking stuff, putting it in stock, selling it to the people, opening your doors and selling it to the people. That part reminds me of Moonlighter a little bit. But instead of going off and adventuring and killing things, you're just sort of setting up your stuff, and then you open the doors, they come in, they get gruel, they get meat or beer or whatever. And at the end of the day, you go to bed and it saves. And then you wake up the next day and you do it again. And that day it might be too cold, so you put some wood on the fire, and that'll help, you know, the temperature in there be suitable for people who are coming. You go fill up on some water, use that for your beer making.
I'm assuming you can add more tables.
Totally.
This guy looks like he has two tables.
You start with one and then two very quickly, and then as time goes, you build out and you can have way more tables, bigger space inside, all kinds of extra crap in there that keeps people happy, entertainment, you know, floor rugs that like make people stoked, I guess. I don't know. You also got to clean. So while all this is going on, they mess their table up. So you come by once in a while and kind of maintain the table. And sometimes an unruly customer will sit down and be a real dick and you got to go talk to him. And if he doesn't shape up, you hit him with a stick and he leaves. Nah. The cat, you see him talking to the cat there. You got a cat. You can pet the cat every day and he builds up a liking of you over time.
Right.
You don't have to make the food while people are there. You can make it all in advance and just have stock.
I want to go back to the cat thing.
Yeah, go back to the cat.
How unrealistic. No matter how many times you pet a cat, it's not going to get more friendly.
Oh, I know. There's no heart that fills up in real life with a cat. I agree.
Right.
This is a fantasy game.
But you were talking about the gruel you were serving in bowls.
Yeah, you serve the gruel and the better soups or whatever. If you run out during a business day of the things you've made that make more money, it's okay because you'll always have gruel to give people. So you'll make enough at a bare minimum. You can open and close anytime you want. So if you run out and you're like, oh shit, I still want to do more beer today, you can close the restaurant or the tavern. Everybody will leave and then you can go do your shit and then open it again and still have time in the day to, you know, to sell more of your stuff. And you can save any time, even if it's in the middle of the day. It doesn't really penalize you for that stuff. You're just trying to maximize your profit and your production of like stuff in the garden and whatever. Here he is working in his garden. This is much later in the game. Not much, but a couple hours into the game, I guess.
What do you think about the graphics and the animation here?
Okay, so here are my pros. I think the loop is very addictive. The day-night cycle stuff, I'm totally into it. This game had me going one more day, one more day, one more day. And that's usually a sign. When these kind of games are good, that's how you're supposed to feel. So that was going good. The art style is simple, and so are the environments. The video you guys are watching is actually one patch behind where they are now, and they've upped the resolution on a whole bunch of interior stuff. So it actually looks better now than this shows, but it's still sort of in this vein. Anyway, I'll get to that in a second. Like I said, it has a very pronounced sort of just one more time quality to it, and those kind of games just get me every time, so it's really hard for me to deny those. you can pet your cat. All right, those are my pros. All right.
You can pet your cat. Don't forget.
My cons. Again, all the little mini bits of gameplay, the cleaning the table because they're getting grumpy and you want to improve their experience, or a guy spilled, so go clean up the floor spill, or go hit that guy in the head for being, you know, a jerk and getting drunk and pissing off all your other patrons, that kind of stuff. It's all very fun. The cons, I think the character art, the environment art is fine. Not a problem. I don't mind the way the world looks. Right. The character art sucks. And it can use a lot of work. I think they could just add a lot and just make them look less like cutout paper doll, you know, garbage monkeys. They don't look good. A lot of monkeys today on the show.
Yeah,
they're just not great looking character. I shouldn't say models because they're not 3D, but they're, you know, there's these little 2D sprites. Yeah. And I just think the art could be better. So if I had any real complaint, it's just a little stiff. I could use some work.
Yeah. My biggest eye, and maybe it's just the video you're showing, that the color palette is so pale, and not in a good way. It's a little designed to be pale.
Yeah, I think you're not wrong. This is how it looks. So, you know, the gray walls, right, the sort of red brick flooring, you know, there's nothing that jumps out color-wise in any of this. Really, it's the gameplay where it shines, and they are doing multiple passes on artwork and on constantly talking on their forums and the discussion boards on Steam about, you know, upping a lot of that sort of stuff. But in the end, it is going to be, you know, a 2D Stardew Valley ass looking thing. That's the goal. I mean, they're not going to suddenly go, and we're moving to Unreal Engine 5. They're not going to do that. At least I don't think so.
But imagine petting the cat.
Yeah, you get to pet the cat, which is pretty cool. Awesome. It takes a little while also to figure out the brewery stuff. I think if you're have some knowledge of how beer is made, which I have zero, then you're probably going to do better with that understanding, and that stuff will just make sense. For me,
now, unlock recipes by experimentation, or do you gather recipes, or
you
is it
learn them
just
through?
On rails?
That's a great question. I'm trying to remember. I think you acquire them. I don't think you learn them. You don't just put stuff together and see what happens.
Right.
I don't think.
That's too bad, because I would like to make some bad beer and watch everybody throw up.
There might be some of that, and I'm just not remembering how it worked, but. It's entirely possible, but it's got a little bit of the farming thing. It's got some of this like store management tycoon stuff. I really like it. I'm super hooked on it, and it's reviewing well. People like it too. It's in early access, like I said, and it's currently $12 on Steam.
Just from watching this video, I feel like I could get right in and start playing. And sometimes that's been one of my bigger complaints lately. It's like sometimes games get overcomplicated, and this just seems like a quick jump in.
I completely agree. There aren't too many systems here, which is why I think it appeals to me, because it's just like get in, get out, do what you want, have fun. It's, like I said, $12 right now. That's super cheap. And I'm going to give this thing a rating of 8 bowls of gruel out of 10.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's high praise.
Melt it. Yeah. It's not bad. Like I say, it's just a... For what it's trying to be, it's totally being that thing. It's doing a great job of being what it's trying to be, and I admire
it. Now, what's the audio atmosphere like in that game? Because I didn't hear any audio. Do you have any audio?
Yeah, I got some audio. Here, check this out. So this is the sound of Traveler's Rest. There's not a lot of VO, a lot of grumbly crowd noises and things, but here's that dude working around doing his stuff. Okay. Walking. Yeah.
What's it got, like wooden shoes?
I mean, I don't know. They're like big heavy leather shoes or something. I just noticed in this video he's expanded way out for additional rooms. I've not done this, but apparently you can go bananas with the
You can go monkey bananas.
Because you can that's the other thing. You can get to a point. See, look at that.
Oh,
look at that.
Crap.
So you can get to a place where you can, I haven't gotten this far, but you can rent rooms. People will say, oh, I want a room, and you can like haggle with them over how much you want to pay for that room. You can have employees. I forgot about that. You can hire employees. It will help like keep everything clean and make sure everyone's getting the food they're supposed to get.
Did you hire a magician? A sorcerer's apprentice? Yeah. Because I've seen a broom sweep it itself.
Yeah, there's magic shit in there for sure. It's pretty
okay,
cool.
So this game it gets much more complicated in later games.
I wouldn't
games,
say
so
complicated. I would say it just gets
more robust.
The point is you want to, you know, games are all about next level. Let's get higher. Let's get better. Let's advance. Like that's what you're seeing here. It's just these are advanced advanced things happening.
I like that. It looks, now I'm it's really bustling.
Yeah,
in
it's
there.
Bustling. That's money making right there is what that is.
Yeah, baby. Look at that.
All right. Perfectly good game. Check it out. Eight bowls out of gruel. Or out of gruel. Out of 10 bowls of gruel.
Out of gruel.
I am gruel. All right. Let's move on to Hello Puppets gruel. Midnight Show. No idea what this is, so Brian's going to tell us. What is it?
Are you ready to be scared? Because I was. Hello Puppets Midnight Show is a stealthy horror game where you're a puppet maker. Let me back up just a minute.
I'm going to play, while you do this, I'm going to play some of your music or some of the sound here.
Absolutely.
Beginning on the main stage.
Okay, so there's a little bit of something going on. We'll just let that go in the background. Okay, go ahead.
Right. That's Naughty Nick. No, it's not his name. What is his name? What is his stupid name?
Turd Burglar McGee.
Knick-knack.
Nope.
His name is Knick-knack. Knick-knack. So he's right. Okay. So you're in this world of reverse puppets, essentially. This game is a prequel to a game called Hello Puppets VR, which I never played and never heard anything of until I saw this demo.
Note that the reason this probably exists is because there wasn't a lot of money in VR, so they made a game everyone could play. But anyway, go ahead, Brian.
Right. So now you can finally play the story on the desktop. So your playing is Owen Gubberson, and it's 1987, so it's kind of like that old school vibe. And he just screamed, didn't he? Yeah. So there's a lot of screaming. There's a lot of jump scares in this game. So we got kind of like a Five Nights at Freddy's kind of jam going on here where you got to be careful, you got to be stealthy, or suddenly you get the big jump scares, right?
Yeah.
So.
And what's the, so it is a horror game.
It is horrific, especially if you don't like puppets. Yes, and this game did make me say the F word chat room. So
did it?
Multiple times. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. All right. So as a good horror game goes, in my opinion, there's usually horror games and puzzles to me are a perfect match because what it does is as a gamer, you have to focus in on these puzzles. And the more mundane the puzzle, the greater the excitement, because when you're putting batteries, this is like one of the main game mechanics. You're constantly collecting batteries, AA batteries, 9-volt batteries, and you're constantly putting them in equipment, whether it be like trip sensors, or if you're going to put it in an alarm clock or a old record player. You're constantly collecting old batteries and using them. Okay. So when you go to put a battery into an object, you have to spin it around, and it spins around real slow.
It spins right
around. You have to get it right. You have to get the negative side in there and the positive side.
Oh, so you got to be accurate. But can you lick a 9-volt and just get a little shock going, or what?
Absolutely, you can.
Sweet.
No, I don't know. But there is 9-volt batteries. You don't use them as much. They're a little more rare to get the 9-volts. There's lots of AA's. Anyway, all this stuff is to distract you from a really horrific scene, because you've got this music that's going on and these audio cues. And those audio cues are very important in these type of scavenger horror survival games, because you're not looking at, what's around you until you do, at which time Knick-knack comes up and eats you. Doesn't eat you, but he does scare the crap out of you.
That's the name of the guy, Knick-knack?
Yeah, Knick-knack. Knick-knack was a character in the original game on VR, but he was not a playable character or he wasn't really interacting. You just knew about him. You heard about him. You heard about the Knick-knack. This time you get to go against Knick-knack. And so he's roaming the halls of this studio. I guess I better back up some more. Man, I missed a whole bunch of this, the front story to this game. All right. You have brought, you're the puppet creator, and your show is failing, and you're in the studio of your production studio, and you have brought your puppets to life. And what they have done is they have reversed puppeteered themselves. So people are walking around who are dead or zombies, and they've got their arms stuck up like a puppeteer, and the puppet is actually controlling the body. Right. And Knick-knack is controlling a large individual, a very scary looking individual. And that's how he runs around the studio looking for you.
Oh, my gosh. Now, what just happened with these guys? This is the whole thing.
Yeah. So that's what that is. That's Knick-knack right there. He's like, so You saw what happened. You might have saw what happened.
This is very Five Nights at Freddy's or whatever.
Fry's Nights at Freddy's.
Here, so, let's, you know, so, I want to hear you getting scared. Is this where you drop the F-bomb?
I don't know. Is this? Do I actually talk in this one? I got two clips. I got several clips. I don't know if I'm talking to you.
Hold on. I'm going to play this video. Just see what we get. Is there anything?
I don't think I record them on the videos I post there.
Did you not do audio?
I just do the game audio, not my
Father, you ruined everything. You weren't supposed to die before I got to sing.
I don't like him at all.
No, he is quite boisterous.
He can eat a poo, is what he can do.
He can eat a big old fat poo. Now, what's tricky about this is this game does not handhold you at all. So if you don't want to hear any game spoilers about this game, go ahead and put on pause or fast forward, whatever you need to do. But essentially, this game is all about discovery. So you got to go and discover what you're supposed to do. Very Five Nights at Freddy's in that way. You won't notice it first, but there's like paintings all over the place with cutout holes for the eyes. And you may just not think much about it, but then you realize that every time there's a certain music cue, that Nick Knack will either be roaming the halls or he may be peering out of paintings. And if that painting randomly lands in the area where you're at and you get too close to that post, to that painting, yeah, he'll jump out and get you.
I don't like what I just saw. So Chad, I'll back it up. He's Dunaway gets inside of this. He gets inside of this locker here.
Yes, you have to hide in the lockers.
Yeah, you got to hide. He turns his lamp off and then watch what comes by. Watch that. Ooh, yeah. I don't like it. I'm not playing this game ever. Just putting that out there.
Dude, you got to play this game. No. It's so much fun and so intense. But yeah, so you hide in lockers when he gets nearby. So you can usually hear him coming or something. So you got to pay absolute attention when he's to all the audio cues around you. And oh man, I love getting scared. But okay, so you'll see there's trip sensors too. Speaking of things that are just way too loud, he's got traps all over the place. So like you'll like open a locker or something, and a horn will go off. You probably saw me looking up in that locker right there. I could actually see the horn, so I knew better than to open it because it'll make a loud noise, and then Nick Knack may come along and get me.
Is it this kind of horn?
You can run.
So like that.
Something. It's almost like that, except it's like more like a party horn, and there's like confetti that falls down.
Oh. Okay.
And if he's close enough, if he's nearby enough and he hears it, he'll come get you. He'll just start stomping. Boom, 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 boom. And you can run from Nick Knack a little bit, but you've got a stamina bar like a good survival game. So you only can run for so far. So if you're too far away from a place to hide, you can forget it. And of course, the physics in this game intentionally are bad. So like if you run to go get inside a locker, you're not just going to smoothly slide into the locker.
Sure.
No.
Sure.
You're going to have to, you're going to get stuck behind the door. And, you know, it's just that tension.
Do you ever make a sound like this? That ever happen?
No, I'm more of a subdued kind of, I'm more like, can't stop saying shit. I'll just start going shit.
I do that too.
That's kind of my bit. Right.
I cuss so bad when I play these damn things.
There's vending machines where you can buy more batteries and you can buy stuff like that because you're searching throughout. You search everything. You search every locker. You search everything because you're trying to get coins. And you can use those coins to unlock stuff from the vending machines. And then you can unlock secret areas. You can actually get a extra life so that if he comes up and he kills you, you can redeem that ticket and you can keep on playing. Talk about one more time. I played this game so many times. Just one more time. This is the longest I've played a demo, I think, because I just kept wanting to.
Oh, that's right. This is a demo, everything. Not the full game. You just played.
No,
the demo.
It doesn't come out until later this year. I'm probably guessing around Halloween, but it's supposed to be later this year for the full version.
Okay.
And I, like I said, I haven't played a lot of demos lately. I have a lot of game codes I've got to take care of. And this was actually sent to me by the developer. Said, here's the demo, which you can go ahead and get now, and if you get it and play it, then when the game releases, you'll get the full release.
Oh, so, you know what? I may have just gotten a tweet like that today.
Yeah,
I so just I'm got like, a okay, DM I'll do from, that. Is this from Blue?
This is Tiny Build. Tiny Build always they send some pretty good games. Developer is Otherworld Interactive. Publisher is Tiny Build.
That's hilarious. I got a DM today from somebody doing this exact same procedure, right, except for a totally different game. It's a horror game.
And be careful with that. Make sure that if it's a demo, it's on some trusted store.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, dude. Steam. I ain't just downloading no file if that.
You for you guys. Yeah, what, like a moron?
Yeah, am I dumb? I've been around this block a few times.
Right.
Jerks.
But with some of the fun interactive things you do are you'll go up to a you'll go up to a arcade type machine and you'll have to spin a dial, which is really you just holding down the mouse button, and you know it'll have like a little progress bar, very Among Us, the little progress bar will kind of go, but you can't look away. If you look away from what you're looking at, then it instantly you have to reset.
Gotcha.
And the primary goal of the demo is called the mode is called hide and seek. I don't know if that's going to be the only mode in the final game, but it is in this one. And here you'll be going to different areas and finding mask, because that's what Nick Knack wants. He wants you to find a particular style of mask, and he wants you to get six of them, and he wants you to return them, and then he is going to put on a show. Yeah. In between time, he puts on shows for you. So like, let's say you're on the prowl for one of these masks, and all of a sudden, a little announcement will come on, and Nick Knack will be doing a show in the main area. And if you run to the main area, he'll put on a little show for you, and he may do a little joke or a little dance or something. And then based on that, you'll have to quickly like spam your keyboard space bar or a letter on the keyboard to try to like clap really fast. And if you clap fast enough, then he disappears. And the good thing about that is it gives you a second where you can finally stop hiding. I'm doing it right here. This is a show performance starting in 25 seconds.
Yeah.
It gives you a second to not go stealth. You can actually run really fast because you know he's occupied and you know he won't be able to get you during like for 60 seconds. You just get like a free-for-all run. And those are random as well. There's a lot of randomness in here and a lot of puzzle solving, which is, like I said, I love puzzle solving in horror games. There you go, clapping it up. Clapping it up. Oh, I'm not going to make it.
I don't like the use of Comic Sans in some of the interface. They need to stop that.
Yeah, I'm not totally thrilled with all the photography, I guess you would say. But there's so many puzzles. There's a lot of puzzles. And it looks simple. You can do a complete run by just running straight through. But if you want to unlock all the little story beats and everything, there's a lot to completest on this game. And I really enjoyed that part of it. And I know it's a demo, and I don't like to give scores to demos and stuff, but I am going to give, pending a full release, the demo gets 666 shits out of 999 oh shits.
Wow, that's a lot of shits you've given.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Okay, well, I'm going to not ever play it, so good job, Hello Puppets.
Oh, come on.
I mean, I might. I don't know, dude. I just finished Resident Evil 8. I need a break.
Dude, this is like Resident Evil is actually scary. This
seems also scary. Everything about the running past the thing and jumping in your face. Right. I can't do that stuff, man.
I think it's more intense than scary. I mean, and maybe not. Maybe you've got a little different take on it.
By the way, did you download the demo for Death Trash by chance?
I did download it, but I didn't play it yet.
Okay, I played it and it's great. And I definitely want to play that game when it's out. However, I'm not going to review it or anything. I just wanted to say that Death Trash, the demo, needs to be updated every 4 minutes, I swear. That thing, just check it out in your Steam library. If you update it often like I do for your Steam library, I do it almost every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time all I get time. In, that thing needs another update. Update.
But that could be good, right? That's a good thing, not a bad thing, right?
It could mean they're super into just really responding to bug reports and fan feedback. I mean, it could be all that. And I am going to get that game. It looks great. But, man, they're on fire with that. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
All right. Well done. A demo, everybody. That's right. Brian returns a demo.
There's this. I just really hated to do it. I know it's an old joke. You know, I used to play a lot of demos. But
yeah,
I just had to give Hello Puppets Midnight Show just a try. Just because I was kind of jonesing for this type of game anyway. And I was like, all right, let's just give it a try.
Important to remember, we're living in a golden age of demos. For whatever reason, demos are back, back in a big way. Yeah. So enjoy.
All of a sudden.
All right, our games again were Traveler's Rest for me and Hello Puppets Midnight Show for Brian. That game's still coming later this year, but the demo is available now on Steam. Okay,
then.
I feel like I've forgotten something. Nope, I don't think I have. So instead of pretending like I've forgotten something...
We gotta guess my game, right?
You can be my-
Yep, that's the sound. That means we got to guess games. All right, I dug all the way back to 2013. Normally, we go further than that. This is a kind of a weird little game show me and Brian do together where, you know, we try to find something old and then see if we can guess what the other person's game is and all that. And we do it with sound, and it's a lot of fun. But I didn't go that far back. 2013 is not that long ago. But
it's
I did.
Under 10 years, so that's good.
It is. Not much, though, which is also weird to think about. But, Brian, I'm going to play for you this audio from 2013, and you're going to try to guess what it is. This was a highly reviewed, well-reviewed product. I loved it. I played it and beat it. It was on the PlayStation 4, an early title.
Oh, wow. Let's say that was early on PlayStation 4, right?
Yeah, because PS4 came out in 2013, so same year. So yeah. Here is the sound, and you see if you can figure it out.
At last, now a real story can begin.
Aladdin?
Definitely not.
This story needs a heroine.
Or a hero.
The message must become a messenger. This one is called Iota. They've got a message just for you.
All right, guesses.
I don't know this game. I don't know this game at all. I mean, it sounds like, you know, like vampires and stuff, but I mean, it's too cutesy to be any type of Castlevania game. So it's
definitely not one of those, and no vampires. The game, no one in the chat's getting it either. So maybe I picked a too hard of a one, but this is.
No, I think it's perfect. I don't think I ever played this one unless.
Well, here's the game. It's Media Molecule made it. They were famous for the Sackboy games, the Big Planet games. This was their first real departure from that, although in some ways there's similarities, but it's called Tearaway. Tearaway.
Yeah, I never played. Let me look. I mean, I don't remember that at all.
It was like a papercraft world where you ran around with a bunch of paper-looking shit.
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah.
I really didn't care for papercraft stuff until about 2 years ago, I think.
Because it started looking good. It started looking decent.
Yeah, every time I saw papercraft, I was like, nah, that looks stupid.
Yeah, because it just looks like low poly, flat polygons. But I'm telling you, this game looked and still does very cool. It's cool game.
Great.
Yeah, I would highly recommend it.
I am recognizing the cover art, but I never even fired this up in any capacity whatsoever. So
the only real stinker and they had a Vita version or something. I don't remember how that went.
No.
And I think I may have liked that one more because my only bummer problem with the PS4 version was they really tried to force using the stupid touchpad thing, and that annoyed me. I don't think you needed.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. They really pushed those for a while.
They did. Yeah. They always do. Whatever your gimmick is for, you know, six axis for the PS3 and squishy triggers for what 360 or no
squishy triggers.
Xbox One or whatever. Like everybody's got their little gimmick they want to push on you. That was Sony's with that weird touchpad on the PS4 controller. But anyway, it is a very cool game. Tearaway 2013. If you never played it, you really should. It's probably a little hard for this game, but there you go.
You know what? This is going to be, you know, you guessing my game is going to be a lot of fun.
All right.
And I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
Because we made these show notes last week. Yeah. We didn't do a show last week.
Oh yeah, we had a schedule problem.
Come on. I don't remember what I picked, but it was from 1990.
You don't remember the game?
So you're going to be just as surprised as I am.
Okay.
When we figure this
Here
out.
It is. Check it out. I know this. Oh my gosh, it's going to drive me crazy.
Oh, I know what it is now. I found where I made the audio.
Oh, I know this because I have a remix. I have some remix versions of this song. This is this is Dr. Mario.
Nailed it.
Oh yeah, dude.
Yeah. Oof. Hilarious.
Yeah, that's a little that song is so like iconic in my head, and plus I think there's a what's the other game that I've been thinking of Smash Brothers. There's maybe a theme for that on one of the levels or something, or you kind of use some of that music. But it's all the music. That's all that is for me. I remember that from that. I don't even think Dr. Mario's that great. It's okay. It's no right. Tetris is what I'm getting at.
Okay. No, it's not.
It tries to be, but it doesn't quite pull it off. Well done. That was a good one. Good pick. And look at me getting it right. I feel pretty good about myself
now. Look
at you. Yeah. It's not too bad. I'll play this. Oh, yeah. For you? All right. Moving on. Let's get to an email. Yeah, that's right. You guys send in your correspondence to boopshow@gmail.com, and we read them right here on the show. For example, this one from Jonathan Gilbert. Sounds like a...
Gilbert!
Like an old video game developer, doesn't it?
It does.
Like back in the 80s, Jonathan Gilbert made 4 games in the arcade. What were they? That kind of thing. Anyway, it says, greetings, Scott and Brian. I am a longtime listener and a huge fan. I currently have a 75-minute commute to work, and your podcast is one of the many that I enjoy to avoid mind-numbing boredom. He says, now to the point. Man, a 75-minute commute. Jeez Louises.
That's like all day.
Is that one way or both ways combined? You adding them up? Like, whew.
God, I hope it's both ways and not all in one.
I do too. That sucks. Anyway, he says, I have a problem. And it's a problem with a lot of others have. This horrible commute. Just kidding. I have too many games because the likes of Epic constantly giving me freebies with all the game clients and libraries around. I need, and I mean need, some sort of game library aggregator that can pull all my game libraries into one tidy little easy to sort location. I don't need to be able to launch the games from the aggregator. I just want to be able to look at a single comprehensive list of games and where they're hosted and get it without having to open 4 or 5 clients looking for the one game I'm looking for. Does this sort of thing exist? If not, can someone please make it? Jonathan Gilbert. So he's looking for like justwatch.com, except it's your own personal library and it's not streaming services. It's game clients. Looked and I couldn't find shit. Do you know of anything?
Really? Oh, absolutely. Good old Galaxy 2 is a very robust at this point.
Hold on. Go Galaxy? Is that what you called it?
Yeah. Good old Game Galaxy.
Oh, so G-O-G. Just good. So good GOG. Okay, got it. All right.
Yeah, they have Galaxy Client number 2, and I think it's on all platforms. I think it's on the PC, Mac, and Linux, and maybe not on Linux. But I use it quite often. You can use a launcher with it, but I don't ever do that. I never used a launcher. But it hooks into your Steam library, it hooks into your Game Pass, your Windows games, all the games for most of the bigger places, it hooks into them. PlayStation, all that stuff. And you can keep track of your ratings in there if you want to for a game. It'll track some of the times. It'll track some of your achievements. But yeah, I really like good old Games Galaxy.
All right.
It's pretty good. Now, it is a little frustrating because it is you're going to run into this with any of these types of collectors or aggregators. You're going to often run into where you have to reconnect to a service for whatever reason. APIs have changed. You know, they've made some kind of new agreement. So you're constantly doing that, but it's still worth it.
You might have to do that once a month to one of your services or something. It's not that bad.
Right. Yeah. Right. Not so, like but day. Yeah, it really helps me a lot because I can sort by, when I purchased it, I can sort, you know, like when it was released. And so that really helps me go like, oh, I want to play a game from this year, for review that I haven't played yet. And I can filter through that really quick and see what's out there that I have access to.
Well, our good pal JC Calhoun in the chat room, always here with some cool suggestions, recommends Play Night.
Also a great, that's developed by one guy.
And, yeah, it looks like
I've used this before too.
It looks neat.
Yeah.
I might try this.
It is really sharp and it's probably, in my opinion, more powerful than good old Games Galaxies because good old Games Galaxy is, you know, you what you got is what you got. There's themes and things for this. So
the concept here is more focused on like GOG, as much as it can do the things you just said, it's also a store and they've also kind of got their own thing going.
Yeah.
This is like third party outside of all that. Just, hey, we want to organize all your shit, including good old games. So here it is. Boom.
Yeah. And it aggregates from like the internet game database. So you got lots of information in there. You can choose your thumbnails. It is very customizable. If you're the kind of person who used to sit, you know, go like Friday night, go, you know what? I think I'm going to organize my record collection or my tape collection or CD collection. If you're the type of person who would do that on a Friday night, then you're probably going to like Play Night. It's really a collection organization. Fun is what it really is.
Seems neat. Play Night with a N-I-T-E, not like nighttime. Playnight.link is where you can find that. So go.
That was a great question because I do get that question quite a bit.
Yeah, it's a fair. It's also a growing problem for a lot of players. Mine's a complete mess because I have too much Steam stuff. Just so much. I can't keep track.
Oh,
of it.
Yeah.
It's just a mess. I need something to help me aggregate my Steam list alone. That would be
fun. Wish. I know. I wish. How Long to Beat. I wish I had a better interface with How Long to Beat because I really like keeping track of, you know, how long I've played a game, you know, what the progression is. I like going there, but it is a website, and so I can't really interface it with my information, my other information as well.
Oh, this thing. So Playnight's a website, you're saying?
No. Playnight is a download application. I'm talking about How Long to Beat.
Oh, How Long to Beat.
That was. Okay. I wish that was built into this because none of these games, none of these resources are as robust.
Oh, that would be cool. Why don't they have, they maybe they do and just someone has to take advantage of it, but if How Long to Beat had an API that Playnight.live could plug into, then it could report, A, here's where the game is and it's just right here, and B, this is, you've played six of the expected 19 hours or whatever. That'd be amazing.
I would like that. Yeah. And it might be already there. Like I said, it's just one developer though. So, you know, I worry about stuff like that. But it's been around for years now. Playnight's been around for years, and the guy's still actively developing it. But you always have that fear. It's like, oh, he's just going to one day go.
It's like anything. We were using these like Blink security cameras, and then they used to offer so many days of just rotating free space to upload your videos when there was movement or whatever. And then Amazon bought them. And then suddenly they don't offer the free anymore. I got to buy a freaking $3 a month per camera freaking subscription to make this thing work.
Like, you never know when but anything's going to
screw you. Everything's going to screw you eventually.
I was lucky because I don't have that turmoil because I bought late into it. So I always thought I had to pay for it. So I was like, whatever. It's like up to 10 cameras for $10, I think.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
I like those Blink cameras. Don't get me wrong. It's why I bought them in the first place. But I don't know. Stuff changes is what I'm saying. So watch out.
Yeah, but I do worry about, like, one day the guy who's doing the Playnight goes, oh, we had a kid.
Yeah.
See ya.
Yeah. I'm busy now. Fatherhood has changed my whole life. I'm never doing this again.
Right.
And then it's not open source, and he can't give it to anyone else. And it's a fair point. Thank you very much, Jonathan Gilbert. Thank you for the email. If you want to send us more emails, everybody out there, including Jonathan, you can do that. Boopshow@gmail.com. Super simple. Keep them coming. It's going to do it for us. A reminder that we're at frogpants.com/BOOP. Boop.
Oh, hi.
Follow us on our Twitch channels. Brian's at Brian Dunaway. I'm at Frog Pants. You can find our Twitter account at Boop Show. So make sure you do that as well. And we've got a really hopping Reddit page over at boopshow.reddit.com. So if you're not hanging out over there, what are you even doing with your life? Get over there.
If you submit a really interesting indie gaming news bit, we'll credit you on the show. We'll say, here's the news bit from so-and-so.
Yeah, oh, yeah, totally. Credit. You'll get your name. You'll have our praise and our unending love and devotion. All that stuff.
Dude.
So keep it coming. That's all can be found on the website, frogpants.com/boop. Also, if you're trying to watch us live, we're at frogpants.tv. Every Monday at 3:30 Mountain Time. It was Tuesdays. We've switched it again for scheduling reasons. But we're back to Mondays. So Monday, 3:30 Mountain Time, right here at frogpants.tv or twitch.tv/frogpants. Either one gets you there. Brian, anything else you want to say before we...
Tune in. I do the Boop Show homework every week, so do follow my channel on Twitch so that you can see me play the stupid crap and yell bad words during that game, like shit,
and damn it,
shit,
and occasional F-bombs. All could be yours. Just hang out over there and find out. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening and being here. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like Steam. I love Steam.
Destroy them with lasers.